मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम आई ऑफर माय सैल्यूटेशंस टू द ब्लिसफुल लॉर्ड माधव, by whose grace even the mute can become eloquent and the lame can cross over mountains. May he bestow his grace upon us all. Om peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning. We have been studying this episode in the great epic Mahabharata, where the Pandava brothers, when they were staying in the forest for 12 years, encountered many obstacles. Once they were camping somewhere in the deep forest and they all became thirsty. The five Pandava brothers and Draupadi, their wife. And there was no source of water to be seen anywhere nearby. So Nakula, the fourth Pandava brother, was asked by Yudhishthira, the oldest brother, to look for some water so they could all drink and quench their thirst. Nakula climbs a tall tree and looks around and locates a small lake, a beautiful lake surrounded by very nice trees. So Nakula goes there to bring water with a water bag, and he wants to drink water and bring water for the remaining brothers and Draupadi. When he enters that area, he is about to step into the lake and drink water, then he hears a voice from the top of a tree nearby. The voice says, first you should answer my questions. I am in charge of this place. And then only if you answer my questions satisfactorily, you can drink the water and you can take water for your brothers. But Nakula was impatient. Nakula says, I am one of the Pandava brothers, so I don't care for this answering the questions. Who are you? And the voice says, I am a bucker, I am a big bird here. I am in charge of this place. I guard this territory. You have to get my permission. You have to answer my questions before you drink the water. If you disregard my instructions, you will be in deep trouble. Nakula disregards his instruction. He is young and justifiably proud of his fighting powers. He had proved his mettle many times before. And he disregards the bird's words and starts drinking water. As soon as he drank the water, he fell down unconscious and he died right there. And here the Pandava brothers, Yudhishthira and others, are waiting for a long time. Nakula didn't show up. Then Dharmaraja, the oldest brother, asked Sahadeva, another younger brother, to go and find out what happened to Nakula and why he didn't bring water. Sahadeva goes and same thing happens. He sees his brother has fallen unconscious or died, but he is very thirsty and others are thirsty. So first he tries to enter the lake and drink some water and take some water for the remaining brothers. Same thing happens. He hears a voice from the top of the tree. I am in charge of this place. You have to answer my questions, get my permission before you drink the water. If you disregard my words, you will be in deep trouble. But Sahadeva was also a Pandava brother with great prowess and strength proven. He says, I am not going to care about this bird. I don't need anybody's permission. I am going to drink the water. I am going to take the water for my brothers. So he enters the water, starts drinking the water. Then again, same thing happens. He falls, fell down unconscious and he died. And the other brothers are waiting. Nakula didn't come back. Sahadeva didn't come back. Then Arjuna goes. Same thing happens. He disregards the bakas, the bird's words, and starts drinking water, collecting water for the remaining brothers. He also fell down unconscious. Then Bhima goes. Bhima says, these guys don't know what to do. I can take care of any situation. He goes there, sees the four brothers lying down there. Three of them lying down there, unconscious or dead. And he steps into the water. The same story happens. The bird on the top of the tree, he says, you cannot drink the water without my permission. I am in charge of this place. I am guarding this place. First you answer my questions, and if you give me satisfactory answers to all my questions, then you can drink the water and take water for your brothers. Bhima disregarded. Bhima is one of the strongest persons, was probably the strongest person. I don't care for this bird, all those things. I am going to drink water. Let me see what happens. He enters the water and the same thing happens. Disregarding the word of the bird sitting on the tree, which says it is guarding the place. Bhima tries to drink the water. As soon as he took a sip of water, he fell down unconscious and he also died. Now here on this side, the oldest brother, Dharmaraja, is waiting. Draupadi is waiting patiently. These four brothers didn't come. What happened? Dharmaraja was very worried. Something really serious must have happened because these are not ordinary people. They are very strong warriors. So Dharmaraja himself goes. Sees there four of the younger brothers, all the four younger brothers are dead. And then he sees the situation in the moment. He says something is here. So when he tried to enter the water, he heard the same voice. I am in charge of this place. First you should answer my questions. If you disregard my questions, like you, as your brothers did, you will meet the same fate. Yudhishthira was a wise person. He says, all right, sir, pray, who are you? Please tell me. What is your identity? He says, I am a baka. Baka means a big bird. But Yudhishthira knows that it is not the truth. A big bird, no matter how big, cannot kill the four brothers. It means something greater, something bigger. Please reveal your true identity. I don't think you are a bird. You must be somebody. Then he says, I am a yaksha guarding this place. I am in charge of this place. You should answer my questions first. Then you can drink water, then you can take water for your wife, Draupadi. Yudhishthira was a very patient man. Dharmaraja, the older brother, was a very patient man. He says, all right, sir, I shall answer your questions. Please ask your questions, and to the best of my knowledge, I shall answer them. And you please permit me to drink the water and take water for my wife who is waiting there, thirsty. So the yaksha was guarding that place. Yakshas are a class of beings, just above human beings. And they usually occupy a territory and guard, become guardians of that place. They guard that place and they exercise their power over that area. And he is one of the yakshas. He was sitting on the tree. And Dharmaraja was a humble person, though very strong, oldest of the Pandava brothers, a very accomplished warrior, but he was also a wise person, humble person. He says, sir, please ask your questions, and I shall answer to the best of my ability, and then please permit me to take the water. So the yaksha asks a lot of questions in rapid succession. I counted a total of 122 questions. Some of those questions we saw last time. The last four questions were very interesting from our perspective. So we will do the last four questions. And then the story continues. Yudhishthira answers all the questions of the yaksha to the yaksha's satisfaction. And then Yudhishthira is allowed to take the water, drink the water and take the water to Draupadi. But Yudhishthira was not happy. What about the four brothers? They are dead. Yaksha says, it is their fate. They disobeyed me. So they met their fate. You drink the water, you can take the water, but they didn't pay attention to my words. But Yudhishthira was very unhappy. Four brothers are dead. How can I take water for myself and my wife? I want them revived. And then the story continues, how Yudhishthira got them revived and all went back well and alive to their place is the next part of the story. Before that, the four important questions that Yaksha asks Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira answers those four questions to the satisfaction of the Yaksha, we shall consider one or two questions today. The Yaksha asks three or four questions in one couplet. It's also beautiful poetry. It's in the Mahabharata Vanaparva, that part of the Mahabharata where the Pandavas were living in the forest is a part of this deal. 12 years they had to live in a forest and 1 year they had to live incognito. If they were found out, if their identity was found out by Duryodhana, then again they had to repeat the 12-year forest stint. So they were in a very precarious condition. So the first question, about 122 questions, last four of the questions, they are there. These are the questions. Yaksha uvacha. Yaksha asks four questions in one couplet. Komodate kimascharyam kapantha kacha vartika mametan chutana prashnan katayitva jalam piba. Yaksha says to Yudhishthira, he asks four questions. Komodate, who is a happy person? Kimascharyam, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Kahpantha, what is the way? Kachavartika, what is the news? What is the interesting news in this world? Four questions. Mametan chatarah prashnan katayitva jalam piba. You answer these four questions. And then if your answers are satisfactory, you can drink the water and you can take the water to Draupadi. Now, Yudhishthira is a very thoughtful person, a very wise person, mature person, unlike his younger brothers who are very strong and headstrong. And no, we are so powerful, we don't care for the yaksha. Yudhishthira was humble. He knew this is a serious situation. Four brothers are lying dead, so he has to do something. So with great patience and humility, Yudhishthira answers the question, four questions. The Yudhishthira's answer to the first question was this. Panchame hani shashteva shakam pachiti sve grihe andrani apcha pravasi cha Savari charamodate. The first question of Yaksha was, komodate, who is a happy person? So Yudhishthira says, panchame ahani shashteva ahani. Even once in 4 or 5 days, 5 or 6 days. Svegrihe shakam pachati. Even if a person is very poor and lives in a hut and has no resources, no proper food, nothing, but if he gathered some leaves growing around his hut, not every day, once in 4 or 5 days, if he cooks them in his own house, vegrihe, he will be a happy person. instead of a millionaire who lives in a very big mansion with so many problems, a poor person can be very happy if he is content, even if he has very little food to eat and not a proper place to live. If it is his own place, then he can be happy. Then he has adds two more things. Andruni, he should not be burdened with any loan. Rina means loan. If you take loan, then you are obligated to return the loan, and the creditor who gives us the loan, he comes and bothers us. I want the interest, huge amount of interest. People go to some places there, pay a loan, and then they give their paycheck, small paycheck. Then they get the loan, and then it's only good for 20 days, and then again have to take loan at the end of the month, and again same story repeat. Perpetually they are in loan. And this loan continues to the next generation. Their children also incur that loan because the parents cannot, you know. That is not happiness. Andruni, a person, though he is very poor, can only eat some leaves grown around his hut. If he is not indebted to anybody, if he has not taken any loan, that is happiness. Andruni cha apravasi cha. Pravasa means traveling in some faraway places. One is happy and comfortable in one's own place, even if that place is a very small, humble hut. But if you are traveling in some other country, then you are prone to more difficulties. More sickness may come, there may be a shortage of money, you don't know anybody whom to ask for help in a totally strange land. That is not good. You stay in your own place, apravasi, svegrahe, in your own house, even if it is a small hut. And don't have any loans, no obligations to pay something to somebody. And even if you have very simple food, you will be the happy person. One who is not burdened with loans, who stays in his own place and not roaming in foreign lands, even if he subsists on cooked leaves and greens, once in 5 or 6 days, panchamehani shashteva, not every day, he is a happy person. This is what happened to Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi. When Sri Ramakrishna passed away, after his Mahasamadhi, his disciples were still struggling to gather themselves and form an organization, and they didn't have a regular place to stay. Surendra was trying to arrange something for them. And Holy Mother went back to Kamarpukur, as she had been told to do by Sri Ramakrishna. And there was nothing. Sometimes she could cook some greens, and there was not even salt to add to the greens. And she would eat it and stay there in that hut. No obligation to anybody. It was, those were difficult times, but she was indebted. She was independent, not indebted to anybody. And of course, things changed. The disciples came one by one. Then Swami Sharadananda came, he took her to Calcutta, Udbodhan was built, and the story continues. Loans, one who is not obligated to anyone and is independent, though he is poor and lives in a humble hut, such a person is a happy person. Perpetual loan is a cause of misery. This brings us to the question, what is happiness? We think normally that happiness means having a large house, maybe several houses in different places, lot of property, huge income, lot of money and comforts and luxuries and possessions and property and fame and power and wealth. All these things, we assume, they bring happiness. It's not necessarily true. Where is happiness? This takes us to the question of the locus of happiness. Everybody is trying to be happy. Even animals are trying to be happy, finding some comfort. Where is the happiness? According to our ancient wisdom, happiness is not to be found outside in possessions, power, or in any material object or sense pleasure. Though those are the things which you often resort to find happiness. Happiness is not in any of those things. When Yama offered to Nachiketa in the Kathopanishad, all kinds of facilities. In lieu of Nachiketa's request for self-knowledge, Yama says, you are still very young. And Nachiketa's question was, what happens after one dies? Yama says, Yama didn't want to answer the question right away for two reasons. Yama wanted to know whether this boy, who was only 8 or 10 year old boy, asking this profound question of what happens after death, does something survive or not? Yama wanted to make sure that he was really serious in asking this very serious, profound question. Or was he simply asking the question to impress Yama, as sometimes some people do? Is he serious? And second thing that Yama wanted to ascertain before giving the answer to Nachiketa's question was, if the answer is given, if indeed he is serious, if Nachiketa is serious to know what happens after death, and if the answer is given by Yama, is he capable of understanding it? Does he have the preparation? Can he understand that one? Can he benefit from it? He wanted to ascertain. So right away he does not start giving a discourse. Yama does not start giving a discourse on what happens after death. He tests Nachiketa's determination and eligibility to understand the answer that Yama is going to give. Yama says, I shall offer you, you are still very young. There is a long time before you can, you have to think of death. I'll give you a large kingdom, music and dance, queen, all sources of pleasures, power, wealth, and a huge treasury, and a long life to enjoy all these things. Please take all these things and go and enjoy. Don't worry about death. You are still very young. But Nachiketa was made of different stuff. He says, he flatly refuses all these things. Nachiketa says, very extremely impressive words of deep wisdom, profound wisdom, Nachiketa's mouth, from mouth, we can hear. Nachiketa's Shobhava Martyasya Danta Kaitat. O Lord Yama, Lord of Death, you are offering me large kingdom, queen and horses and chariots and elephants, and a long life to enjoy these things, money and treasury, music and dance. These are all very temporary, transient. Today they are there, tomorrow they will disappear. Or all those things may be there, I may have to disappear. And you are giving me a long life. He says, api sarvam jivitam alpamev. No matter for how many years a person lives, a time will come when old age will come and person has to give up the body. He may live in the body for a long time. A long life does not necessarily mean happiness. If the body is not in good condition, every day becomes a torture. I want to go. I don't want to live. That condition may come. No, I don't want all these things. Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. All the pleasures you are offering, food and wine and drink and music and dance and other things, they will quickly deplete the acuity of the sense organs. How long can we keep on eating pizza and chocolate cake and cream cheese and all these things? After a short time, the body becomes full of problems. That is not going to satisfy me. Api sarvam jivitam alpameva. No matter how long a lifespan you are going to grant me, this is going to end one day. It's going to be finite amount of time, duration of time. Taviva bhavahastavan ritya gaitim. Look at this temerity, the courage, the renunciation of this young boy. He has the courage to say to Yama on his face, Lord of Death. And he's a young boy standing there. Any other person would have taken all those things and thank you, would have gone away to enjoy. Not Nachiketa. Nachiketa says, sir, keep all these things, horses and chariots and dance and music for yourself. I don't care. I want the knowledge. I insist that my question be answered. So Nachiketa had the wisdom. All these things which we ordinarily consider as sources of happiness, they do not have any intrinsic capacity whatsoever to give us happiness. then where is this happiness coming from? Happiness seems to come from children, happiness seems to come from food, happiness seems to come from money, happiness seems to come from youth. But where is the location of happiness? Not in those things. True happiness is in the self, within. So self-knowledge is the way to find lasting fountain of joy, unconditional, undiminishing, eternal, infinite fountain of joy is all within us. You disregard that and look for happiness outside. It is just like searching for some object which was lost inside the house, searching for it outside in the under the street light because there is light there. That is not the sign of wisdom. Nachiketa had that wisdom. And Bhagavad Gita confirms this one. The wisdom that Nachiketa had, Sri Krishna also conveys him in a very telling fashion in one verse in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There Sri Krishna says, all these so-called objects of happiness, food and clothing and money and power and wealth and following and retinue, kingdom and everything, they cannot give us any happiness. They only appear to give some happiness, but in the end, they will only give sorrow. Yehi samsvarshaja bhoga dukkhayonaya evate. Dukkhayoni means it will prove itself to be the cause of unhappiness, sorrow. For a time, it seems to bring happiness, but then what happens? Things change, separation will come, ability to enjoy these things will rapidly diminish and disappear, and then only disillusionment and unhappiness will come. Adyantavantaha, they all have a beginning and an end. How long can we enjoy good food? How long can we enjoy wearing good clothing and ornaments and jewelry? How long can we enjoy traveling? How long can we enjoy eating food? They all have a finite limit. One day, sooner or later, the separation will come. Either all those things are there intact and I have to leave, or I am there ready, but all those things will be taken away from me. Shankaracharya says, if you have youth, wealth, beauty, and other facilities, property, everything, don't be proud, because it only takes a twinkling of an eye for the separation to happen. In the famous Bhajagovinda Stotram, Shankara says, Ma kuru dhana jana yavvana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam. When people are young, they are happy, they are successful, they have good position, they have money, they have youth, they have beauty, they become very proud. Oh, they assume that it will be there all the time. Shankara says, Nimeshat sarvam kalaha harati. All it takes is the twinkling of an eye for all these things to be snatched away from us. That's not the lasting source of happiness. Peace and happiness come to one whose mind is centered in the self. Where is source of happiness? Only in the self within. It is embedded deep within us. We are not able to see it. We are seeing the world outside. The sign of wisdom is to search for happiness where the only place where it can be found. Unlimited, unconditional, eternal peace and joy can be found only within the self. There one has to search for it, one will find it. In the complete verse, Swami Vivekananda says, happiness, we see, is what everyone is seeking for. But majority seek it in things which are evanescent and not real. No happiness was ever found in the senses. There never was a person who found happiness in the senses or in the enjoyment of the senses. Happiness is only found in the spirit. Swamiji said, happiness is not in matter. Happiness is in spirit. But some people misunderstand spirit. They go to drink alcohol, that is spirit. Want to find happiness. And you know what happens, addiction to alcohol. What happiness can it bring? It can and does end in disaster. That is not spirit. Spirit means self within. Ananda. In the Upanishad, it is called Anandam. Anandam Brahmeti Vyajanat. That self withinness, which is our true nature, that is bliss itself. It does not have bliss as a quality. If it is a quality, it's subject to variation, coming and going. It is of the nature of infinite bliss, Ananda. There we have to seek, not in other things. Then, the second question that the Yaksha asks, Dhrishtara's answer to the first question about nature of happiness was very much related to and a continuation of his answer to the first question. Yudhishthira's answer to the second question was a continuation of the answer he gave to the first question of the Yaksha. Let us say, what is the second question? Second question was, Kimascharyam, what is the most wonderful thing that we see all around every day? First question was, Ko Modate, who is a happy person? A happy person is one who looks for happiness in the self. In the Bhagavad Gita, such a person is called a Yukta. Yukta is defined as a person whose awareness is constantly centered in the self within, not in the world outside, in the objects outside, but one's awareness must be constantly centered in the self within, which is the only source of joy, which is joy, Ananda. Not roaming about in the outside world among the sense objects. Nispriha sarva kamebhyo, giving up desires for worldly objects, worldly sensory pleasures. A person must focus one's attention on the self within. Such a person can find happiness. Then Bhagavad Gita says, Ashantasya kutas sukham. If a person does not have peace, lot of property may be there, power may be there, position may be there, but all these things will make life enormously complicated also. Complications also will come. That's not the way to find happiness. The way to find happiness is to search where it can be found, where it is, and that is the self within. So this answer that Yudhishthira gave to Yaksha's first question is also partly the answer to the second question, which was, Kimascharyam, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Yudhishthira's answer is very simple, poetic and simple and profound all at the same time. The answer that Yudhishthira gives. Kimascharyam was the second question. What is the most wonderful thing? Answer was, Ahanyahani bhutani gacchanti hayamalayam sheshasthavaramichanti kimascharyamatah param. Beautiful answer. Very poetic, very profound at the same time. Yudhishthira says, Ahani ahani bhutani yamalayam gacchanti. Every day we see around us death and destruction. People become old, people become sick, then they die, and then there is sorrow. Every day we see this one. That's what news is all about. Where war is going on, where bombs are being dropped, and where killing is happening, this all that we see in the news. Every day, everywhere, we are watching this one. Still, we hope that it will not happen to us. It's happening to people somewhere else. It won't happen to me. Serious diseases come, people suffer, and somehow I'd like to think that it may not happen to me. It won't happen to me. It happens to somebody else. Sheshaha sthavaram icchanti. Other people, they want to become, they want to be here permanently. Sthavaram means not changing. Kimascharya matah param. What is more interesting than this? We don't learn the lesson. We are slow learners. All around we see suffering. All around we see unhappiness. But we think it is going to happen to somebody else and it will not happen to us. I'll be happy. It will not happen to me. That kind of ignorance is the most interesting thing. We don't learn by observing things. Shankara warns that everything we have, youth, power, wealth, can leave us in the twinkling of an eye. Ma kuru dhana jana yavana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam maya mayam idam akhilam hitva brahma padam tvam pravisha viditva. Wealth, beauty, youth, possessions, friends, power, position, influence, all these things are there, but all these things can be snatched away from us in the twinkling of an eye. Either all those things are intact and I have to leave, or I am there and all those things will be taken away from me. We saw this, we see this in natural calamities. Everything is fine. One day, natural calamities will occur. Tsunami will come, earthquake will come, hurricane will come. All the house, property, relatives, everybody is, they are gone. And I am standing there with no place to stay. A moment ago, I was comfortably in my own home with all the people, my beloved ones. A moment later, nothing. Or I may go and those things may be intact. That is not the way to find happiness. To think that will be there forever, permanently, I'll be happy. If I'm happy now, to think that I'll be happy forever, that will continue indefinitely, that is the foolish thing, and that's the most astonishing thing. We are capable of such high intellectual power. People have so much thinking power. But somehow when it comes to this, we don't want to face reality. It is unpalatable. I don't want to think that something bad will happen to me. I want to assume, I want to take comfort, oh, I'll be fine. Sri Ramakrishna gives the example of fish that are caught in the net. Some fish don't get caught in the net at all. They are ever free. They never fall into the net. Some people get caught in the net and they somehow struggle and get out of the net. And some people, they burrow deeper into the net, mud and all, and so we are very safe here. Nothing will happen. Next moment, the fisherman will draw the net and you know what happens. We are like that net. We are like that fish which are caught in the net. But we don't know that they are bound, that they think they are very comfortable and they try to burrow themselves into the mud, net and all, and they think nothing bad will happen to us. That is not intelligence. That is the most interesting. People are capable of thinking such profound thoughts. They also cannot look forward into the reality, into the future, and assume that things will be all right forever. That is the most interesting thing. Sheshasthavaram icchanti. Other people, though other people, some people are dying every day, suffering and disease and death and destruction is happening all around us. We don't want to learn a lesson from that. We think it is going to happen to somebody, we'll be safe. That is the most interesting thing about human beings. Kimastarya matah param, what is more interesting than this one? Yudhishthira says. In one of the most beautiful hymns, Shankara explains this situation nicely. Ayurnashyati pasyatam pratidinam nyatikshayam yavvanam pratyayam tigatah punarnadivasa kalo jagad bhakshakah lakshmi stoyetaranga bhanga chapala vidyutchalam jivitam tasman mam sharanagatam sharanadatvam raksha rakshadhuna. A devotee prays to his Lord, to his chosen ideal. Sir, every moment our lifespan is depleting. As we are watching, our lifespan is depleting moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, week by week. Our time in this world is becoming less and less and less. We don't want to celebrate birthday. Birthday means we have that much less time to live. And we are celebrating it. If something that you have, that you want to have, if it is depleting, and you are thinking it is an occasion for celebration. Ayurnashyati pashyatam pratidinam yati kshayam yavanam. Youth is going away very rapidly. Gataha divasaha punahana pratyayanti. One day gone is gone forever and will never come back. October 27, 2014 will not come back. 2015, October 27 may come, but not 2014. A moment gone is a moment gone. Time is the only totally non-renewable resource. Once it is spent. Cannot be renewed, will not come back. Kalo jagat bhakshakah. In course of time, everything will be depleted, taken away from us. Everything will be lost. Lakshmi toye taranga banga chapala. Wealth. People are very proud of their wealth. I have so much money saved in the bank, some in the Swiss bank also. But it is as fickle. Lakshmi is as wealth is as fickle as the bubbles on the surface of water. Vidyuchalam jivitam. Life is so temporary, so fleeting, that just like a lightning, it can come and go. Just like a lightning. Tasman mam sharanagatam sharanada. O giver of refuge, therefore please help me. I take refuge in you. Please protect me. That is the prayer. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, there is an incident. Sri Ramakrishna was very conscious of the temporary nature of everything. He wanted us to appreciate everything is fleeting. Nothing is forever. But one day, he sees Hriday, his nephew, had brought a calf, and he tied the calf to a post in Dakshineswara garden. So I will read from the Gospel. Sri Ramakrishna says, once Hriday brought a bull calf here. I saw one day that he had tied it with a rope in the garden so that it might graze there. I asked him, Hriday, why do you tie the calf there every day? Uncle, he said, I am going to send this calf to our village. When it grows strong, I shall yoke it to the plow. As soon as I heard these words, Sri Ramakrishna says, as soon as I heard these words, I was stunned to think how inscrutable is the play of the divine Maya. Kamar, Pukur and Sivhor are so far away from Kolkata. This poor calf must go all that way. Then it will grow, and at length it will be yoked to the plow. This is indeed the world. This is indeed Maya. Sri Ramakrishna wonders. This is Maya. We build our dreams, castles in the air. I will do this. I will buy this house. I will live there happily. I will marry. I will have a nice family, nice children. One of them will become the president, and I will be happy, and I will be living in the White House. All castles in the air, building dreams. It may happen, it may not happen. Even if it happens, it will be there for some time. Then, after 4 years, we have to vacate the White House or after 8 hours. Nothing is forever. But we build, keep on building our dreams. Oh, this will be there, this will be there. I'll be happy, I'll be happy. Closing our eyes to reality. Then, you know what Sri Ramakrishna said? This indeed is the world, this indeed is Maya. I fell down unconscious. When he hears Hriday say that I am going to, this will grow and I will send it to Sihor and then it will be tied to a plow, it will be useful. Sri Ramakrishna says, I fell down unconscious. Only after a long time did I regain consciousness. Two things have to be accepted as inevitable. First thing, Swamiji explains it, I will read the passage. First thing, happiness and unhappiness are inseparable. They always come together. Second thing, if everything is going on well now, one should not expect that good times will continue indefinitely. Summarizing all these things, Swamiji said this. Swamiji's words, happiness presents itself before man, wearing the crown of sorrow on its head. He who welcomes happiness must also welcome sorrow. That's Swamiji's words. So Yudhishthira said that the most interesting thing is that people get used to good things and assume that they will continue indefinitely, though they see every day people around them are becoming old, sick, and dying. That is the most interesting thing. That was Yudhishthira's answer to the second question of Yaksha, Kimascharyam, what's the most interesting thing? Then two more questions will be there. Kah pantha kacha vartikam? What is the way? In the gospel, we frequently come across people asking Sri Ramakrishna, sir, what is the way? And the Yaksha asks the same question of Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira gives a very nice answer. And then kacha vartika, what is the news? Those two questions are remaining. We will next time, when the opportunity comes, we shall answer Yudhishthira's answers to those two more questions of Yaksha. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. May all be happy. May all be free from afflictions. May all realize what is noble and auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om Peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.